السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله، على نيته وسره. لك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان، ولك الحمد على نعمة القرآن، ولك الحمد على نعمة أن جعلتنا من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله for the فضل and the كرم of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has enabled us to discuss Allah's deen. This is an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan, who has enabled us, who has given us the strength and ability. May Allah help us share what is right. May Allah save us from fitan ما ظهر منها وما بطن. We are to gather, we have gathered to learn about the best of people so that we may enumerate and emulate them and share their message with the whole world. So to practice and to propagate their message. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan. And Allahu Akbar, his greatest support right from the beginning was none other than one of the greatest Sahaba, and she was a Sahabiyya radiallahu anha. She was the first to embrace Islam. So let's rewind. Wahi was received in the month of Ramadan. Who was she? It all started when she was much younger. She was wedded prior to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, to a man by the name of Atiq. He passed away. Then she was wedded to Abu Hala, Zurara. He also passed away. She was a prominent, well-to-do individual. She then said to herself, I'm not going to marry. I'm going to take care of my children and I'm going to live my life. She would do trade. She was wealthy. She would do a business deal with anyone who could be honest. She would give them a share. And this in fiqh is called mudaraba. And she heard about the honesty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very young, so she sent an offer. That, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you go to trade for me in Syria and I'll give you this percentage. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to consult with his uncle Abu Talib, because his uncle cared for him. His uncle was there for him. His uncle at first was apprehensive and was in refusal. But then, because of the poverty-stricken condition in the home, Abu Talib said, maybe you go, but be careful. But what brought about this worry was, when Abu Talib was younger, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was much younger, the report is in Tirmidhi, where Abu Talib accompanied Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was but 10 years old, to Syria, on a business trip. Now Abu Talib had become old now, so there was poverty in the home. But at that time, when he was leaving all his children, he saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cry. And he couldn't bear that. He said, my child, you're crying because you're going to miss your uncle. He says, yes. He says, you come with me. This was the love Abu Talib had for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On that journey, they passed an area called Busra. In Arabic, there's Basra. That's it. In Iraq, Basra. That's in Iraq. And this is Busra. Busra is in Sham. It's two different places. Basra and Busra. So they were towards Sham. Basra in English, Busra in Arabic. That was where this monk saw the caravan of Arabs. He came out of his dwelling, which wasn't the norm. He was in his monastery, in his place of worship. And as they would devote years and years to worship, he comes out and he invites them over for a meal. And his intention was actually Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But everyone with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also to be honored, because he wanted to have a closer interaction with this young Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a man who studied the former scriptures. He called everyone. He prepared meals. He served them. But he's not finding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. He asked them, where's the young man who was with you all earlier? They said, no, he went to make sure that the animals eat, to tend to the animals and get ready for the caravan to depart for the next leg of the journey. So this monk insisted. Buhayra was his name. This meal is for him as well. He must come. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called for, he notices there's amazing phenomena happening around him. Like he was sheltered despite the scorching heat by the cloud. And when he sat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no space in the shade. He noticed the tree, because he was a scholar, he took note of this, bend to cover and shelter Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's an amazing incident in the Gospel of Barnabas. I remember years ago, I purchased the Gospel of Barnabas from Hazrat Marana Yusuf Tutlasan, rahmatullah alayhi. Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. What an amazing insan. Allah Ta'ala bless him and his family, and Allah graze him higher and higher in Jannatul Firdaus. Anyway, in this chapter 163 of the Gospel of Barnabas, Isa alayhi salam says to his companions that there's a man who that Allah will save me, and then I will be falsely accused as to be killed on the cross, which was a cursed death. But that will be false information, and it will be an allegation against me, because Allah will raise me. And when he, the final man of Allah, who has Allah's protection, Allah's mercy overwhelms him like this tree covers us. He's giving the equation to his companions. When he comes, he will clarify my name and explain to the people who I really was. When he comes, he will have Allah's help. So they asked him, who is this man you speak of? He said, with no indication, he said explicitly, no inference, but explicitly, he is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's in that gospel. But clearly in the Bible today, even despite their distortions and changings of the book, in the Old Testament, which is the part that the Jews believe in Deuteronomy, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is expressed and explicitly mentioned to be very similar to that of Musa alayhi salam. I will send the final Nabi like unto thee, Moses, like you. He will be from their brethren, the brothers of your people. He will not speak of his own accord, but as I place in his mouth, shall he speak. Meaning, what he speaks is from Allah, meaning the Quran. And then after the Quran comes the Hadith, that is referred to in the previous books. He will be like unto thee, Moses. This is Deuteronomy 18:18, a chapter in the Old Testament. Then you can ask any of your Christian friends, who's like Moses? Is Jesus like Moses, or is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam like Moses? Anyone who will think a little will analyze that Isa alayhi salam is totally different. Isa alayhi salam didn't even have a following in this world. He wasn't even wedded. He didn't have children. He didn't have. He was a Nabi of Allah whose people rejected him. There was no battles encountered in his life. There was no migration upon him. And he didn't pass away. He was raised to the heavens. Musa alayhi salam grew up in certain circumstances, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, similar. Musa alayhi salam wedded, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, similar. Children, similar. Following, similar. Migration, both. Battle, both. Passed away naturally, both. Great Anbiya alayhi salam, both. Laws, similar. That's why when making tilawa of the Qur'an al-Kareem, we'll find so much of Musa alayhi salam in the Qur'an al-Kareem. But that's a verse in the Bible. In John, which is the New Testament, very similar to the first verse we quoted in the Gospel of Barnabas, in John, Isa alayhi salam said to his companions, there are many things I want to share with you, but you cannot bear them right now. But when he, some versions of the Bible say, Spirit of Truth, Man of Truth, Farqalit, when he, the Farqalit, comes, he will share with you all that is true. But he will not come until I go. So I will go to God and send him to you. Now clearly, it mentions someone to come after Isa alayhi salam. That if Isa alayhi salam doesn't go, he will not come. So sadly, the Christians now try and still misinterpret it and say, no, this refers to the Holy Spirit. But then as it's read further, and I'm not telling you to read it, I'm just telling you to remember these few, because my sister, you're going to share Islam with other sisters. And Islam, Allah is going to bring people. So you have to know these few things to at least tell them. Even if you don't quote the verse or the chapter, but there's something like this, they'll understand what you are telling them. Because sadly, the Christians are searching for the truth because their book has been so badly distorted. They are even becoming atheists. And You and I are not sharing the message with them. My brothers have to share Islam with the other men out there. This young man has to tell the children about Islam. Gee, and my sisters, you have to share Islam with all the women folk. So here, the verse says, if I don't go, he cannot come. But further on it says that the Holy Spirit, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, was there with Isa alayhi salam. Even when he was born, the angel was there with Yahya alayhi salam. So clearly the verse says, the Spirit was there with them. And this verse says, if I go not, he cannot come. So it's clear that it's not referring to the Spirit that they interpret it as. It's referring to someone, not a Spirit. And who is that someone? That is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is just a few examples for you. Even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first encounter with Jibreel alayhi salam, where the angel says to him, comes to he that is not learned and says to him, read this. And he responded, I am not learned. That's in the Bible. It's referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first encounter with Jibreel alayhi salam that happened in Ramadan. So here also, these rabbis knew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his description. That's how this monk knew so well. So he's serving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, serving the others. At the end he said to Abu Talib, this hadith is in Tirmidhi. Who's the guardian? He asked the delegation. They said, they pointed to Abu Talib. He said, I advise you, don't take this child to Syria, to the lands of the Romans. He is endangered. Because there's people who studied the scriptures, who are advisories to the rulers. And they're not happy. So anyway, Abu Talib didn't take his words seriously. Just then, guards from Rome arrive. And they're searching and they're interrogating Buhayra. Are there a delegation of Arabs? Was there a child with this description? This group of people were placed inside the house or the monastery of the monk. He's talking to the guards outside. So Allah made it happen that they were not there inside and so forth at the time. He's answering them. So then he says to them, but what do you all want? They said, we are told about this child. They're telling him because he's a monk. And we have to kill him. And there's people like us sent in all different directions. So the monk advised them, that do you know the will of the Lord Allah? When he decrees something, it happens as he wants. They said, yes. He said, if Allah chooses his anbiya from wherever, it is his choice. And if Allah wills something, can any makhluk stop it? They also said no. So they said, but in that case, we accept what you're saying, but we can't go back. Will you teach us? Will we stay with you? He says, yes. You're welcome to stay with me. Then this rabbi goes back to the delegation who heard this whole conversation from inside. He says to them, now do you understand? And Abu Talib realized that this is a serious issue. And he sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back. Anyway, that's why he had that worry. Should I send my child again now? But anyway, it was Allah's will again that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went as a trader. And that also was a lesson for us. What a trader. Marvelous, honest, transparent, good business, kind, fair, loyal, a man of his word. Maysara, who was viewing this man's honesty and integrity, that he couldn't lie. Maysara says there was an incident where a Roman in Syria was Roman lands, says to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that take an oath by your gods you'll worship in Makkah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, but brother, I have never worshipped those gods ever in my life. Why must I take an oath by them? I worship one Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maysara says, I was shocked that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have never taken oaths by them ever. Maysara says, one scholar in Syria called me and said to me, the man you accompany is to be Allah's final messenger. That's how explicitly. That's why I wanted to quote to you a few verses of the gospel. You might be thinking, what is Maulana Sahib is teaching us here? But I wanted to show you how, despite the distortions, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still described. Even his hijrah to Medina in the present day Bible is there. The Ansar supporting him. His victory in Badr. His return to Makkah on the occasion of the conquest of Makkah. He returns to Paran with 10,000 holy ones. And we discussed from the menfolks, I hope, they are sharing with you what they have learned in the masjid, because I was mentioning to them in the morning, that don't just say, talk, very good, very good. No. How much we remember is we have to discuss what we learn with our partners. Go home, share with. The wife asked now, what was the discussion? Oh, very good. That's all. What does that mean? We have to remember what we learn, practice it, and share it. So same here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, day after, whatever he learned from Jibreel alayhi salam, he went straight home and taught Hazrat Khadija. Whatever he learned. Wudu, he taught Hazrat Khadija. But we haven't reached there. I'm just telling you about the business talk. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, Maysara narrated this report to Hazrat Khadija. Oh, she was inspired. And she saw so much of blessings in her business. Then she remembered a few years prior, because she never intended to marry. But she was sitting with her friends, and a scholar passed them and said something in Makkah, that a time has come for the arrival of the final Nabi of Allah who will be in Makkah. Hazrat Khadija said, my friends were scoffing and mocking and jesting at this individual. She says, I made dua. I made intentions and made dua. That Allah help me accept your truth that you are to send, and enable me to accept it correctly and serve this cause. Look at dua. Ask Allah for acceptance. Ask Allah to help us serve His deen. Ask Allah to accept our progenies for hidayat, for the hidayat of humanity. Don't confine, oh, hidayat of Stanga. No, humanity of the whole world. Our intention must be the whole world, my mother, my sister. Our children also that we rear and we feed and we cook for. Ya Allah, this child, Ya Allah, use him for the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make the whole world know who is my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when making durood sharif also, we should feel bad that such a Nabi of Allah, that Allah sent for the whole world. Today, that helper in your home, who's helping you cut the tomatoes and onions, doesn't even know why we eat with the right hand, what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Why does a tap in the toilet? Ask her. She thinks it's there because we eat hot food. She doesn't know this is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How are we expecting her to know? Which Nabi of Allah is going to come and teach? It is you who is khayru ummah. This is our responsibility. Look at Hazrat Khadija. She learned, she made an intention, and she made dua. Later on, Allah blessed her. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to his uncle. It's a long story, but we have to crux the discussion because Allah blessed him with Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. And Allahu Akbar, she loved him, respected him, and vice versa. And she did anything that, you know, for his cause. Even in his younger days, how kind he was to her children. All her children were in his home. He took care of her children, his spouse's children. And Allah blessed him with children from her. All his children, except Hazrat Ibrahim, came via Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. And he always thanked Allah for her due to that bounty. That Allah, you blessed me with her children. How he cared for her children, subhanallah. Lot of the ahadith describing him in his younger days are the ahadith narrated by the children of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. One specific one is Hind. I was planning to discuss some of that with you, but our time is passing rapidly. So you have in your home the Hayatul Sahaba. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, right in the beginning of the kitab, quotes the hadith of Hazrat Hind. Hind is the son of Abu Hala. Abu Hala was the former husband of Khadija. He was a young boy growing up in front of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandson, a very special, subhanallah, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved his children. Allahu Akbar. Hassan was born Ramadan, so our discussion is linked. Ramadan, third year after Hijrah. Hazrat Hassan was very young when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. He remembers many incidents of the love of his grandfather and ahadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach his grandchild. Du'as. You know the dua qunut we read, especially the Shafi'is read. And we hear it in the loud qunut now in making dua for the ummah. Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt wa afina. That's the hadith of Hazrat Hassan. And if he's born 3rd year, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam leaves this world early 11th year, he's barely 7 years old, and he's narrating hadith. What our children are talking about? We say, oh, they do good thing, buy for them tablet. In the old days, tablet was something else. Today, tablet is something else, making people more sick. Looking screen, whole day. That child is not interested in reading Quran Sharif, because parents think now he achieved, so ruin him more, give him screen, let him be whole day on the screen. That mother feels, oh, children is nuisance now, she wants to give him tablet. Allahu Akbar, how is our thinking? And Allahu Akbar, that thing is taped, that whole system of that. Child is in front there, what ads come there? Allah Ta'ala knows what's the agenda behind that. We have to be careful, because they try and indoctrinate filth into our children without us knowing it, underneath our very noses. Allah help us. Anyway, in this, there was a man by the name of Hakim bin Hizam, the nephew of Hazrat Khadija. He brought a gift to Hazrat Khadija a few years prior. That was, the gift was a slave in the form of Zayd bin Haritha. Zayd bin Haritha grew up in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was Khadija's slave. But he saw how close was Zayd to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Zayd was a gift from Hakim bin Hizam to his aunt Khadija. When Khadija saw how close is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Zayd, he gifted Zayd to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he basically became Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's slave. So he's also a young boy, like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's child. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treated him better than how we treat our children also, with so much of love. Now he's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's. Zayd was a little boy when he was taken into captivity by some oppression, and he was sold in the market. That's how Hakim bin Hizam bought him and gifted him to Hazrat Khadija. He was from the Banu Kalb tribe, an Arab tribe. Now, it so happened that there were some relatives of Zayd. These relatives were in Makkah, and they happened to see Zayd. Who are you? From which tribe? From which area? So and so, from this family. My father's name is Haritha bin Shurahil. Oh, are you happy here? And so forth. Yeah, yeah. Very happy. But they told him, you know how your father has been crying for you ever since. Bakaytu ala Zaydin wa lam adri ma fa'al ahayyun fayurja am atadunahu al-ajal. Fa wallahi la adri wa inni lasailun aghalaka ba'di as-sahlu am ghalaka al-jabal tudhakkiruni ash-shamsu 'inda tulu'iha wa ta'ridu dhikrahu idha gharbuha afal. He said, oh my Zayd, I don't know if you're alive or you have passed on. If you have passed on, I can make peace with it. But I don't know where you are. Because he was gone for holiday by his mother's family in Tayyib. And that's where a caravan captured them and usurped these children. And he was then sold in the market. His father hunted everywhere looking for him. He says, my son, every time the sun rises, I remember you. Every time it sets, I remember you. He was paining for his son. And his son, he didn't know if his son was alive or had passed on. He says, I will exert my camel until I find you. Until finally, his relatives meet Zayd in Makkah. He says, but why is he so sad? And he sends a message for his family. That how much I love you, but I am here with the best of people, the noblest of people. As soon as his father and his uncle get the news, they carry some money and they journey to Makkah. They're looking for the noble Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib. They come to him. Oh, noble man, we have a request. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, you are in Makkah, what can I do for you? I'm at your service. They said, we want our son. He said, who? Which son? They said, Zayd. He says, if he's your son, how can I deprive you of your son? They said, name your price, we'll pay you. He said, if he's your son, I'll let him go with you for free. But he must choose to. I can't send him against his will. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam calls for Zayd. Zayd comes, who's this? My father, Haritha. Who's this Zayd? My uncle Ka'b, the sons of Shurahil, my grandfather. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Zayd, you're welcome to go with them, but you must choose. He said, what? Oh Muhammad, I must choose anyone over you. You more than everything and everyone to me. I choose to stay with you. His father is telling him, but you're a slave. How can you? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so touched, and for you and I, the lesson is, this is prior to prophethood, and this is the akhlaq of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam picks up Zayd, so he's still young, a young teenager, by the Kaaba, and he says, "Oh people," Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam puts him on his shoulder. He says, "Oh people, this is Zayd. He is my son. He is not a slave." His father and uncle were so happy that our son is now attributed to Quraysh. This is prior to Islam. A person could adopt someone and change their name. That's why later on that ruling came. But for many years, Zayd was known as Zayd bin Muhammad. But anyway, that was also a gift of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. But my point here is to show, look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's akhlaq. His akhlaq was always sublime. Then when Allah gave him wahi, it was the first encounter with Jibreel alayhi salam. It used to happen that Ramadan time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to go into seclusion. And this year, he was 40. Haqq came. Jibreel alayhi salam brought the truth to him and said to him, "Oh Muhammad, read." He says, "It's my first encounter with an angel." And I said, "I am not learned. I cannot read." He squeezed me. This comes in the hadith. And I mentioned to you, it comes in the previous scriptures as well. Up till now, it's there in the book. He squeezed me again, the second time. And then he squeezed me the third time. With this revelation, he squeezed and released. This was Allah's system of transferring nur, celestial nur. And the verses revealed, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. The first verse is to be revealed in the Quran Sharia. What a responsibility. He comes home, he's shocked. There's few reasons for his shock and amazement. First encounter with an angel, you know, the size of Jibreel alayhi salam. Imagine you see such a thing for the first time in your life. The second thing is, one is the worry, the fear. The other is the fear for the responsibility. I, one man, must reach the world. How? How will I manage? Oh Khadija, zammiluni, zammiluni. And look at his respect for her. Even the term of respect is used for her. Zammiluni. Cover me, cover me. She wraps him. She consoles him. She supports him. She says, "You do not worry. Allah will never forsake you. Kalla wallah la yukhzika Allahu abada." Then she said, "Your character is sublime. You join family ties. You are ready to help all and sundry. You earn for those who can't earn. You help those who can't even help themselves. Even when there's valuable things that you like, I see you give that to people. I have never seen a man like you. Where will Allah the Almighty forsake you? I am sure of it. Worry not, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kalla wallah la yukhzika Allahu abada. Innaka la tasilu rahim. وتحمل الكل وتكسب المعدوم وتقري الضيف وتعين على نوائب الحق." Then she takes Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to her cousin Waraqa, who studied the scriptures of the past. That's why I wanted to give you again the reason for mentioning a few verses of scripture. It was more detailed that time, because as time went on, more and more distortions came about, you know, the previous scriptures, because they would add and subtract. For example, even the one that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returns to Makkah, to Paran, with 10,000 holy ones, some Bible publishers realize that this is too explicit. So they remove 10,000. Some versions have it, others just have it as thousands of holy ones, because 10,000 was too explicit. Because it's too clear in the hadith that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has 10,000 coming back to Makkah Mukarramah on the occasion of the conquest. Waraqa hears this report of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, "Quddusul Quddus. That's the Holy One that came to the Anbiya." And then he said, "You know, I wish I was strong and young to be there for you and carry your burdens and support you when your people harm you and banish you and exile you. Ya laytani kuntu fiha jid'an." And if I had that strength when you go through these encounters, I assure you that I would be there for you and help you greatly by carrying your burdens. Ansurka nasran mu'azzara. What an intention. It starts with intention. That a man is old, but he says, "Allah, if you give me that opportunity, I'm going to carry on till my last breath." It was Allah's will not long thereafter, Waraqa passed away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him in a left lofty pedestal in Jannah. Hazrat Khadija took Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She was the first in this entire dunya to embrace Islam. She was his greatest support. Whatever he learned, he taught her. And the other first is Hazrat Abu Bakr, so the first of the men. But if you study the seerah, Hazrat Khadija even uttered the kalima before Hazrat Abu Bakr. This is showing us the responsibility on our women folks' shoulders. There's more women than men. Who's going to invite all those women to Islam? The first person to embrace Islam, Hazrat Khadija. The first shaheed, Hazrat Sumayya. And in so many aspects, Allah blessed our mothers and sisters with such feats and achievements that Allah has made you bearers of a great responsibility. You and those who come from you and through you have to be nurtured for Allah's deen, for humanity's hidayah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made effort on everyone. Hazrat Khadija was responsible for the women folk. And the first people to embrace Islam, Hazrat Abu Bakr was the da'i with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It wasn't Hazrat Abu Bakr must just make ibadat. What we are thinking, no, to bring people to Islam is not ours. Hazrat Abu Bakr went to all the prominent people in Makkah Mukarramah, Uthman bin Affan, Talha bin Ubaidillah, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, Abu Salama bin Abdul Asad, Zubayr bin Awam. These are prominent, intellectual, well-to-do people in Makkah who knew Abu Bakr, who trusted him. He used that position he had in society to give them da'wah. The women folk, so Hazrat Abu Bakr would make an effort, bring them to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Khadija would make an effort and teach the women folk. The first people to embrace Islam, Hazrat Fatima bintul Khattab. Hazrat Lubaba, Fatima bintul Khattab is Hazrat Umar's sister. Umar was not Muslim yet. His sister, early Muslimat, Sahabiyat. Lubaba bint al-Harith, Hazrat Abbas's wife, Hazrat Khadija invited. Fatima bint Asad, Abu Talib's wife. Whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught Hazrat Khadija, she taught the woman. How much she went through? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was giving dawat openly. Hazrat Abu Bakr was doing dawat one way, on an individual basis, one by one, one on one, one on one. So my mothers, my sisters, tell your husbands, he's going out to work. Tell him, your customer, your client, are you inviting them to Islam? And at night, your husband must give you Kar Guzari, who he invited to Islam. We did the business deal, we sold everything. Who did we tell about Allah? You tell the ladies, he tell the men. Hazrat Khadija, radiallahu anha, spread Allah's deen like that. But she used to get a lot of accusations and insults. They used to tell her. Because after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started giving dawah openly, the Meccans didn't like it. And Allah enriched Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and blessed him. And this is in the Quran. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. You know which surah this is? وَالْضُحَى. You learned وَالْضُحَى, isn't it? Just now you're going to read for us وَالْضُحَى. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. You were impoverished, O my Nabi. Allah enriched you. Mufassirin mentioned, Allah gave Hazrat Khadija the iman to understand that what Allah gave her is for Allah's deen. That what's the benefit of it if it's not used for Allah's deen? That's why I was telling the menfolk the other day, that take your wealth with you in your grave. How? If you're going to keep it, it's not ours, it's someone else's. Take it with you. A wise man takes it with him. Use it for Allah. Allah says, invest your wealth by me. No one can steal it from you. No one can usurp it from you. No one can violate the rights of what you have. No one can blaze it or drown it. And Allah says, by me the investment multiplies 10 to 70 to 700,000 and more, according to sincerity and according to Allah's pleasure and according to the need and the circumstance. Allah Ta'ala gives such returns. لا غرق ولا حرق ولا سرق. And I will give it to you. When you really need it most. People make investments, offshore investment, here investment, preparing for here, preparing for there. What about the real offshore investment? The real afterlife investment?
So Hazrat Khadija used her wealth for Allah's deen. Anything. So they were very upset with her. Because she was a great support to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they used to scoff at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But she was not safe from that as well. Wherever she went, oh, the wife of the madman, oh, the wife of the maniac is going past, and they laughing and they, you know, scoffing. And when he came back home, at times his kurta was tattered into him. At times he was smeared in blood. At times he was stoned at, smeared in dust. At times he was insulted and hurt. And whenever he came home, she never ever said, how much more you want us to tolerate? What is wrong with you? How much must we bear? Never ever. She always said, oh Allah's Nabi, oh beloved, just carry on. فَإِنَّ لِلنُّبُوَّةِ تَبِعَاتِ. This is the sacrifice of Nubuwwat. Allah has chosen you. She gave him that courage from the beginning, right till her departure from this world. When Muslims were locked up, incarcerated in the valley of Abu Talib, she went with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Muslims were locked up there. She left her home, their home, to be with him in the prison. She sacrificed. She used to guide the women folk. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was guiding everyone. Many a time it was her family members, the food that used to come in was sent in by noble people, some were non-Muslim also. So we learn, there's a lot of good non-Muslims out there in the world. It's just that they haven't received Dawat. They're very charitable, they're understanding. But sadly, some of them will still say, no, you know, how can we just keep quiet? They say, no, I stand with Israel. They do, you have to ask. And my sister, you have to ask her, but what do you mean you stand by Israel? Do you know it's not October 7th? It's long before that. It's for 80 years. Muslims are being tortured and suffering. The Zionists came there as refugees in 1920, 1940, 1947. And up till now, there's documentation on how they came there, and how they were treated by the world, and how lovingly and accommodating were the Palestinians. There's even research by Jewish scholars on how the first Jews who entered in 1947, in their interviews in Tantura, mocked and scoffed at, they're old now, but in the interviews and the documentations, they're laughing. And this was a banned docket and document until recently, where they said that when we came in, this is what we did to the Palestinian woman and the Palestinian people and their homes and their children. As they say, from the horse's mouth. But some people, so we have to ask them, what do you mean? It's not October 7th. Even few days before that, Gaza was bombed and people passed away. Who was doing that? What do you expect them to do? So we have to explain to one person. So Hazrat Khadija was there with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And her family members used to send food into. Hakim bin Hizam used to fill a camel with food, strike it on the rear, and get it to run through the guards. And the food gets into Makkah, into that valley, into that incarcerated area. And like that, by the time the end of the period of the incarceration and the boycott. See, they boycotted the Muslims. And there's many Sahaba who also boycotted thereafter the Mushrikeen who used to harm Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So my mothers, we encourage you to encourage our children that we must not partake of drinks and food and snacks and needs that are manufactured by companies who support torture of Muslim children in Palestine. Torture of innocent women and children and people in Palestine. So our children love that certain drink, we should encourage them. That my child, we can't. Let's see what the Muslims have manufactured and we'll buy that. So our children also know that this is a serious matter. Imagine someone did this to your own child. I don't think you'll want to see that company name forever. Even in the street you'll see it, it'll hurt you. Now here, imagine, is it really that we feel that they are ours, when we have the guts and the audacity to have that on our table? Allah forgive us. Anyway, at the end of the, it's a long discussion how they came out of the valley, and then Alhamdulillah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continued his effort But just thereafter, Abu Talib was ill. So there's a report where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to give dawah to Abu Talib on Abu Talib's last. And his other seniors of Quraysh are saying, Abu Talib, are you turning away from the creed of your forefathers? Abu Talib couldn't bear insult and the blame of what people are going to say. And this hindered him sadly. And he passed away saying, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, please my uncle, say kalima, say kalima, say kalima. Say it in my ears, I'll bear witness for you. I'll testify on judgment day. He said, no, I won't be able to. And he passed away like that. Oh, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was emotional. When he was sad, he went to talk to Hazrat Khadija. She was also sick at the time. But she was very emotional and she cried for his pain. He knew what it meant to him for Abu Talib to get hidayat. Because Abu Talib was the one who showed him love from his childhood. Abu Talib was the one who, when the mushrikeen came to stop Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they went to Abu Talib to say, you have to stop your nephew, otherwise we're going to hurt him badly. Few times. And finally Abu Talib called Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, my child, stop this dawah now. How much you want us to pay? How much they making you here and me here? I don't want them to hurt you. Stop this dawah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to his uncle, oh my uncle, even if they take the sun and put it in my right, and the moon and put it on my left, لَوْ وَضَعُوا أَشَّمْسَ فِي يَمِينِي وَالْقَمَرَ فِي يَسَارِي, for me to leave dawah, I can never do it. The message of Allah's deen can never be forsaken until Allah grants it victory and makes it triumph, or in the acquisition of that, my life is given. So Abu Talib kept quiet, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teared, and he took leave from his uncle. But he felt, now my uncle is not on my side anymore. His uncle called him back, my son, you come here. I can never forsake you. You carry on. Say what you like, beta. Say what you like. Your uncle got your back. And in the famous poetry of Abu Talib, فَاسْدَعْ بِأَمْرِكَ لَمْ تُسِبْكَ غَضَاضَةٌ وَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَكُنْتَ قَبْلُ أَمِينَ لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حِذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمَحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. And then he says, وَنُسْلِمُهُ حَتَّى نُصَرَّعَ حَوْلَهُ وَنَذْهَلَ عَنْ أَبْنَائِنَا وَالْحَلَالِهِ. He says, oh my son, you continue with your da'wah. فَاسْدَعْ. Say what you like. No one can hurt you. Your uncle got your back. You are always true, and I know it. Now and always, I can never doubt your truthfulness, O Muhammad. And then he carries on. No one will hurt you. At the end in Josh, Abu Talib says, in his poetry, now poetry was the commentary and the news bulletin of the day. Any poet who said something, everyone repeated those words. Yes. And what he said on his bulletin and his words were, you think you can take my Muhammad from me? Over my dead body. You'll have to climb on top of my dead body and my children's bodies and my wife's bodies. Then you will reach my Muhammad. He says, I might neglect my own children. I won't neglect my Muhammad. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was Abu Talib. That's why it's such a sad event when he didn't take the kalima. For you and I, we have to learn the lesson. What a gift of Allah is Iman. We can't give anybody Iman. So basically our da'wah is to answer Allah on judgment day. Allah humne koshish ki. Allah, we try to save them from hell. Because the people are going to say on judgment day, Allah, so and so, I knew him. I knew uncle so and so. That lady will say, Allah, I knew auntie so and so. I knew Appa so-and-so. I knew sister so-and-so. The lady will say, her child and my child was together in school. Sometimes we phoned each other. But never did she tell me, Islam is also for me. Islam is not some Indian religion for some Indian people. Never did she tell me that Indians came into Islam through the dawah of the righteous people of the past, the offspring of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and Quran is the message of Allah for humanity in totality. Never did she tell me, my mother, my sister, prepare your answer on judgment day. Abu Talib left this world when Khadija then radiallahu anha pained for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah is the giver of hidayat. That's why our efforts also is not that, you know, we can give anybody hidayat. Allah Ta'ala sirf hidayat dene wale hai. Innaka la tahdi man ahbabt وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Thereafter, Hazrat Khadija was ill. Her illness intensified. She calls her daughters. She says, you know, I regret this much. I thank Allah who chose me to do this service for His deen and for His Nabi. But I'm saddened by the fact that I should have done more. Study her life. What more could she have done? She did everything. But this is her words. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw Hazrat Khadija very ill, he said, "Oh Khadija, it's very hard for me to see you in this state. Bil kulhi minni ma ara minki ya Khadija. That Allah put khair and make it easy." And she passed away. She was buried. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself put her in her grave. There was no janaza salah revealed yet. She was passed away in Makkah Mukarrama, Makkatul. That year is termed in our history as Aamul Huzn because of this grief of such a great loss. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give up. He carried on. He went to Taif after that. And Allahu Akbar, how he was treated in Taif. How he was scoffed at, mocked at, belittled, pelted. And what he said, Allah give them hidayat. Allah they don't know. Allah give them hidayat. Allah they don't know. There's one old lady who saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffer. She called him, "Come here, son, come here." She took him home. She hid him in her house. See, there's good people out there. She gave him porridge, him and Zaid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her dawat. He said, "Ma, you've been so kind to me. You and I want to repay people with everything else. We can't take 2 minutes to explain to them that old mama selling millis on the road. Don't bargain with that old lady. That lady you should give little extra to. And tell her about the beauty of Islam. And leave some literature in Zulu. It's available. Tell her, Mama, you're selling millis here. Take this booklet, read it. Invite her to Islam also. Allah give us tawfiq to fulfill this responsibility and this duty on the shoulders of the ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this ummah is made khayra ummah, ukhrijat linnas. This is in Surah Ali Imran. You are the best of all nations, O ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are taken out to benefit the whole world, ukhrijat linnas. Ta'muruna bil ma'roof. You enjoin good. You bring good deeds in your life and you tell others about good deeds. You bring tawheed and connection to Allah in your life, you tell others also to believe in one Allah. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ You stop others from evil actions and also you encourage and explain to others the harms of shirk and ascribing partners unto Allah. Why am I translating it like that? Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sima rahmatullah alayhi said, let's see what the verse, look at the context of the verse. Why we explain that this ayah is also to tell the non-Muslims, because the next verse is about the Ahlul Kitab. وَلَوْ آمَنَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. And if the Ahlul Kitab bring Iman after you tell them, it's better for them. لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. So the previous chapter, now you're reading in the Quran Sharif more, and Allah give us tawfiq to always read more. Surah Baqarah details how to give dawat to the Jewish community.